Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the radio broadcast of the Gospel Pulpit for this Tuesday, April the 14th. It is a great joy to be with you on radio today. And I want you to pray for us here at GBI because we're working on two or three things, really two projects this year that I've set out to work on. One of them is this Reaching America with the Gospel that we launched in February, and I'll be running this campaign through the end of April. And I hope that you'll pray for us. We're asking 1,000 people in the listening area if they would support our Gospel Pulpit $10 a month for the next 1 year and help us go on some new stations. Now, of course, next year we'll come back and run that campaign because we'll need to maintain these stations. Amen. It's not our goal to go on a station and then drop it. I hope we don't have to do that. But you folk have been so kind already. And I told you I'd update you. We've had probably 20 people at least do this, maybe. And it's hard to figure that because some give more money than what we're asking for. And I thank God for that. Every gift helps. We have now took on our first station, KLNG in Omaha, Nebraska. And that has a market area of 486 1,000 people is the population of Omaha, and the station reaches that area. Now, that don't mean that all those people are listening, but it does mean you have a potential out of those people of a great number of people that would listen to the radio. And people sometimes by accident stumble on the radio. Sometimes people know where it is. And I got to tell you, people are listening on the radio. I've never had a broadcast that I don't think somebody's listening to. It's the beauty of radio. So if you'd like to help us, you can make that check to GBI if you want to do it monthly, or the one-time gift of $120. And then our mailing address, GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. We'll send you a tax receipt right back in the mail, and we're a 501c3 ministry. We certainly praise the Lord for the opportunity of being able to serve the Lord these many years with GBI, and we've watched it grow, and we've watched God prosper it. And there is, just moved my whole control board there. But anyway, strange things happen sometimes when I do radio, but we are absolutely excited about the privilege of what God is doing in our ministry, and other doors are open in Tucson, Arizona, and Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, that we might be able to take some stations. So you pray about what God's doing. This ain't for Ricky Cawthorn. I just want you to know, you take me out of the way. God's got a great big plan. I'm just a little part of it. As one song says, I'm on the little end of something big. Amen. All right, let's go to our message. And Father, will you take the message? Use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amusement park and spend the day. My mama had to work and pay that back. Us boys didn't have to pay it back. Mama did. And I remember that, brother. Our things stick in my mind like that. Amen. God always took care of us. But I tell you what, it'll make you be thankful. Amen. And I want to say we ought never forget where we come from. You know, I probably live better than my parents did. I probably have more money. I probably have a nicer home. I probably have, live a little bit better than they did. But I want to say that I ought never, never, ever, never forget where I came from. I just want to give you some things today, and be ye thankful, and be ye thankful. Number one, keeping in mind all these verses we've read on thankfulness, and keeping in mind, he said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. I want God to know I'm thankful. I think about this before I get in the mess. I think about those 10 lepers that came to the Lord, and God healed every one of them. But there was only one that turned around and gave thanks for that. And Jesus asked him, he said, where are the 9? Now, this is what I believe about that scripture, and I could be wrong. I believe 10 men got cleansed of their leprosy. But I believe only one of them got saved by the grace of God. That man that turned around and thanked God, I believe he got saved right there. I believe God honored his faith. But those other 10, they were just glad they got the outside cleaned up. And you know, a lot of people are like a bunch of, and I don't want to call people hogs, but a lot of people have that nature. They never look up to see where their blessings come from. Number one, I want to thank the Lord for salvation. I want to thank God for salvation. Boy, I tell you what, January 22nd, 1978, there's never been a day like that day. I went to church a little lost sinner. I went to church on my way to hell. I left church on my way to heaven. I left church a saved, born-again saint. I didn't know what all had happened to me. I knew I'd called on the Lord. I knew the Lord had saved me. But I was so clean on the inside. Now I remember going to school the next day, and I was so clean on the inside. Oh, what a feeling. God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. I'd like to go back and just wallow in the fact that I got saved and how I felt that day. You know, we get carried away with us as preachers. We get cares on us. We get burdens on us. And we try to get a message over here and a message over there. And we're always working to do something. And we forget sometimes where we were when we got saved. Now, I want to say I don't think you ought to get up in the church after you get saved and give a big long testimony and tell every woman you ever run with and every man you ever run with and every beer you ever drunk. I think that's a disgrace to your family. But I don't think you ought to ever forget where you came from. I don't think some of you came from horrible situations. I think you always ought to remember where God lifted you and how God blessed you and how God lifted you out. Amen? Yes, sir. Amen. You ought to be thankful for salvation. Boy, I thank God for salvation, don't you? I tell you what, I thank God the night the men came and led my mama to the Lord, and then we all got saved. Thank God. Number two, let me give you this. I want to thank God for the Bible. I want to thank God that I have the perfect book. Now, you can do what you want to do. I'm not going to fuss with you about it. But I've got that King James Bible in the English, and that Bible is a perfect book. Amen. I got where I look words up in the English. Amen. I don't have a Greek Bible. I don't have a Hebrew Bible. I'm not mad at you. I'm just simply saying that's my Bible. I'm just simply saying there's not one mistake in that King James Bible. I'll say that authoritatively. I'll say this, that there's not a word in there that the translators should have put differently. I'll go out on a limb and say that. Amen? God put it in there. God did not call me to tear the Bible apart. God called me to preach that Bible. God didn't call me to undermine that Bible. God called me to preach it. I have went to bed with that book in my bed. I love Bibles. Now, some of you love guns. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with loving guns. Amen. If I had my full eyesight, I'd probably be right there with you. But I love Bibles. Sometimes I get them out and they got that new smell on them. I just smell of them. Amen. I love Bibles. I've had three Bibles in the last year, brand new ones. And boy, I thank God for it. I've got one right now. You got to understand my old eyesight, and I don't complain about it. But dear preacher gave me a machine where I could read, put a book under it and read. And I still got that machine. And so I use these machines. Now I've got three of them, and I can lay my Bible out. Now I couldn't do this for years, but I can lay my Bible out now and read from. And I got that new Bible in the mail the other day, and I just got that Bible down and just started meditating in it and reading in it. And I hope I get to wear it out for God. I want to thank God that not one promise in this Bible's ever failed. Why, friend, if I go to the surgeon's table, the Bible's still right. Why, friend, if I go down to the graveyard to bury a loved one, the Bible's still right. Why, friend, if the doctor comes in tomorrow and says, Mr. Cawthorn, you have cancer and you only have 6 weeks to live, the Bible's still true. My friend, do you know in my marriage the Bible's true? In my ministry, the Bible is true. In the miracles God has performed for me, the Bible is true. Amen. In the mire of the storm, the Bible is still true. Amen. I'm going to say to you, my friend, in the murkiness of the day and the trouble that we're in, the Bible is still true. Thank God you still have a Bible. Now, the communists, the first thing they'll do is try to take your Bibles away from you. And there was a man in China. They took his Bible away for 25 years. He didn't have a Bible. And he only had to go on what he knew. Boy, that'd be bad if we had to just go on what Scripture we know in our heart, wouldn't it? That'd be bad if we just had to have church Sunday based on what Scriptures we got. But man, you got 66 books of the Bible. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Great treasures. One prayer I pray every morning. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Boy, I tell you, I love that Bible, don't you? I love my Bible. I thank God. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible. Thank you for salvation. Have you ever thanked God for your Bible? Have you ever thanked God? You know, we take the Bible for granted. We got it on computer. We got it on our phone. I've got it on both my computers, office and work. I've got it on my phone. That's three places. Then I've got a stack of Bibles at home. I found not long ago that little black back Bible that my mama bought me Christmas of 1977. Little pages about to fall out of that Bible. I carried that Bible, just a little cheap Bible. I found the other night a Bible I was reading from, looked in the front of it, and it was my ordination Bible. Oh, friend, let me tell you, I love Bibles. I love Bibles. Don't you? Thank God for the Bible. We ought to read it, do it, live by it. We ought to practice it. We ought to study it. We ought to meditate in it. We ought to read it. Amen. We ought to carry it. We ought to tell people about it. I thank God for the Bible. Do you thank God for the Bible? I thank God for the Bible. I thank God for salvation. Number two, I thank God for the Bible. Then I want to say number three, I want to thank God for the call to preach. I want to thank God that He allowed me to be a preacher. Now everybody's not called to preach. I'm going to say this, you must be called to preach to preach. And if you're not called to preach, get out of it. Amen. But let me say this to you. I thank God for being a preacher. There's no greater calling on the face of God's earth than being a man of God. I get the message from God, then I give it to the people. That's God's way. Now, I'm not a priest. I'm a preacher. The people have just as much right to study the Bible as I do. But God entrusts me with the message of the hour on radio and to America. I have a great responsibility. The more people you reach, the more responsibility you have. You know, when I was a young boy, I always wanted to preach. And when I was 5 years old, they said that I got down to the Baptist hospital one night, and I played like I was preaching. Hadn't never been to church much. They said nurses and people were stopping and coming in there. I mean, I was making such a noise. Well, the Bible said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I believe God knew I'd preach. Now listen, God gave me a free will to get saved. I didn't have to. But God knew that if I'd get saved, I'd preach, and God knew I'd get saved. So when I got about 14, 15 years old, I wanted to preach. And God said, no, wait a little while. And I don't know why God did that. You know, some fellas announced it at 12, and I've heard tell of some people announced it at 5 years old, but God told me to wait a little while. So when I got 17, God began dealing with me about preaching the Word of God. And I remember Thanksgiving Eve, the night before Thanksgiving, 1983. I was in the middle section of the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle sitting in that big old church. There wasn't nobody sitting on that front row but me. Brother Jack Osborne's in heaven now. Brother Jack was preaching that night. He just became our pastor. And I was under such conviction about preaching, I started out on one end of that pew and slid all the way to the other end of that pew. When the service was over, I was sitting on the whole other end of the pew. I remember going to church. There was a dear lady. She's in heaven now. And, oh, what a great saint of God she was. And she loved the Lord. And I was in service one night, and this dear lady got to testifying. I mean, the church is full of people. I was sitting on the front row, and this lady got testifying. She said, I'll tell you right now. She said, there might be somebody here tonight. The Lord's calling you to preach. I thought, dear lady, please don't come up here. And I believe that woman had enough God on her. I believe she could have laid her hand on me and pointed me out, but I was scared that I was afraid she was going to do it. She didn't. I'm glad she didn't. But you know what? God started dealing me to preach. So I had this bright idea. Every time I started reading my Bible, God would start dealing with me about preaching. So I had the idea. I said, I'll just quit reading my Bible. I'll just put it up. Well, that didn't work. I was like old Jeremiah. That fire kept burning. In 1984, we switched churches, and the pastor sensed that God was working with me about preaching the gospel. And the pastor came to me, I'll never forget it. He said, Wednesday night I'm going to give you 15 minutes to teach. I said, thank you. Oh, that set my soul on fire. And I prayed about it, talked to him about it, prayed about it. The next Wednesday night I announced my call to preach. October 24, 1984, God made me a preacher. Now, I'm not a good preacher. I don't have all my words in place. I never went to Bible college. Well, friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Tuesday, April the 14th. I certainly appreciate you for listening. And I really mean that. I thank you so much that you would take your time to listen to me. I'm a little country preacher. I'm ignorant and unlearned, but some of you folk listen to me every day. And I just want you to know that I love you. I may never meet you on this side, but if you're saved, I'll meet you in heaven. Praise God. All right. We'll give you the address at the end of the program. If you'd like to write me this week, I'd love to hear from you. May God bless you until tomorrow's broadcast. Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.